Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the peppers, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun. The NBA playoffs and NBA play-in has begun and continues as well, as the Los Angeles Clippers were down big and now suddenly they're up by double digits on the Pelicans, 74-62 right now, 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter of play. A wild roller coaster, wild swing. And of course, Paul George has COVID and is out of this basketball game. You think COVID was gone? Evidently, no, it's not. And you have to wonder moving forward now, who else, who's next as far as like big time players that are suddenly going to be out. I don't know. Like, I don't think they've been testing as routinely and as religiously as they were in the past. But I think it was a California thing more than an NBA thing that he got caught up in with this test. Because you can't tell me that nobody has had COVID. Like, seriously, like nobody. Nobody has had COVID. Like March Madness, the NCAA tournament, the NHL, the NBA, you know what I'm saying? And then suddenly Paul George, wow. Massive point spread swing too. And look, man, the Clippers were 4-point favorites in this game. The Pelicans ended up closing as 1.5-point favorites. So a 5.5-point swing when it was all said and done here. This game isn't over, though. The Clippers could blow this, although it appears like the Pelicans are really starting to fall apart right now. We got a full house here this evening. Coach Jeff Reinbold's going to step up and in and join us and kick it with us. He's the. It's hard to keep up with Coach, actually. I mean, the guy's coached at SMU. He's coached with Hawaii. He's coached with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now he's with the Montreal Alouettes. Special teams coordinator. He used to be called special teams coach. Now they call it a coordinator. He's a special teams coordinator of the Montreal Alouettes, but he's also a Sky Sports NFL analyst. So we're basically just going to talk football with Coach Reinbold. I'll get his thoughts on the USFL. We've got some USFL picks for you. I've got to get used to saying USFL quickly. USFL, USFL, USFL. So the USFL tomorrow night debuts. One game on Saturday night, and then we've got three games on Sunday. We've got some picks. We've put some work in. We've broken it down as much as we possibly can for a league that's going to be playing their first games. So, man, there's a lot of stuff that's gone on in the sports world today. Our condolences to Mike Bossy. And our thoughts and prayers with the Mike Bossy family, one of the greatest goal scorers and best hockey players ever to play in the National Hockey League, literally and figuratively. He's tossed around a lot. Well, he was one of the best, but Mike Bossy really was one of the best. The numbers that Mike Bossy put up and the amount of time that he played, absolutely amazing. Four-time Stanley Cup champion, and yeah, listen, the Islanders had a lot of great players. Islanders had some good players on that team, some Hall of Famers, but Mike Bossy was the best one. And one of those guys, too, that the Islanders were not a very likable team. And George Kurtz will step up and he's an Islander fan from Long Island. They weren't a very likable team, right, the Islanders. But Mike Bossy was. I'm assuming that we should be welcoming the radio audience. Here we go. I'm not hearing anything. It's like I'm on my own here. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Hopefully there's not too much anger on the program here this evening. Clippers right now up by 9. We'll see what happens with this, and that'll depend. That'll gauge our rage scale a little bit later on. To be honest, I am Gabe Morenci, the Pistol Pirates, the Hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We've got a full house here this evening. What's up, SoCal, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. As I stated, the Clippers are up 75-66. They were down like 15 before. It's been a game of swings. And I don't want to say that the Pelicans are done because it has been a roller coaster in a game of swings, but the Pelicans seem to be falling apart right now, the same way that the Cleveland Cavaliers fell apart in the fourth quarter of play tonight. Trae Young, superstar-like performance tonight. You know, like, basically, listen, Mark Jackson, and I don't always agree with everything Mark Jackson says, but Mark Jackson was right. He basically said there's nothing you can do to stop a superstar. And there was nothing that the Cleveland Cavaliers can do. Now, basically, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they don't have anybody that can defend. They have a bunch of big dudes, but they don't have anybody that can, you know, defend a guard. And it showed. And Trae Young just took the game over. And I was thinking, and everybody was thinking, and even Mark Jackson brought it up and said, listen, you got to make somebody else beat you. You can't just let this happen like this. And they tried. They put three guys on Trae Young a couple of times. Trae Young. How about the man? So you want to talk about epic? And like I said, man, people sort of rolled their eyes when I talked about, yeah, who do you, Luka and Trae Young? Well, whatever. Luka's always hurt and out of shape. Trae Young was the skinny kid coming in here that everybody laughed at. Trae Young scored or assisted on 43 of the 56 second half points that the Hawks scored. 43 of the 56 points. He is the Atlanta Hawk. Make him the damn mascot. Put him on the jersey. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the...
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Edge, then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. George Kurtz will step up and in and join us in a couple of moments. Coach Jeff Reinbold will kick with us a little bit later on. Tony Finn, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. 81-69 right now for the Clippers. As I stated, the Pelicans are just, they're falling apart. Brandon Ingram scored 18 points in the first half. He was on fire in the first quarter. He's cooled off. He scored 4 points since because he's melting down and getting frustrated on the court. You can just sense their frustration, the Pelicans, right now. The Clippers have ambushed them. Like I said, they were down 15. It was ugly. The Pelicans were rolling. Everything was going in. But basketball is a game of runs and momentum swings. And you've got to be able to respond and know that you're not going wire to wire. There's going to be a few ups and downs in the game. You want to limit the runs as much as you possibly can. So the Atlanta Hawks... It's a very similar situation tonight with the Hawks and the Cavs. The Cavs were in control basically all night. You know, like they were leading and they looked good in the first quarter. They were up at the half, but, you know, the Hawks started to chip away a little bit, and I was on Game Time Decisions, and as we stated, I said, man, you know the Hawks are going to go on a run, right? You know that Trae Young is going to, you know, they're going to go on a run coming out of the, you know, coming out of the room in the second half here. So, yeah, that was to be expected, but, you know, you've got to be able to absorb it. It's like a fight. It's like a boxing match. You got to be able to absorb the early shots and then, you know, the comebacks, and then you come back again. And the Pelicans have been unable to, they went on the run, and they've been unable to stop it. It is crazy, though, that Paul George is out. It's the last thing that we expected. And I rarely play. I've been getting into futures, and I've been pretty lucky for the most part. You know, I used to be more like, you know, I didn't have patience in the past to play futures. And also, I would be fearful of, like, oh, somebody can get hurt and stuff. But I've been pretty lucky for the most part. I got screwed over on a Derrick Henry prop. Pretty good one, actually, too. Like, 10-1. The Raptors to make the playoffs and Derrick Henry to lead the NFL in rushing. And the Raptors just made the playoffs. And Henry was leading the NFL in rushing, but he got hurt. But I played a 10-point teaser the other night. You know, when I saw the numbers come out, I was like, you know what? I can't really go wrong getting the Cleveland Cavaliers at plus 12.5 here. So I jumped in at plus 12.5. But I took the, because I wanted a little bit of insurance for the Raptor game tomorrow. I've got the Raptors. I'm going to take the Raptors plus the 4.5, 5. It's been bouncing around 5, 4, 4.5. It's up to 4.5 again right now. But I want a little insurance as well. So now I got the Raptors in my back pocket at plus 14.5. I don't play basketball teasers during the regular season, but in the playoffs, I think they can come into play for you in certain instances. Now, these games, the Atlanta game was okay. You know what I mean? It was good in the sense that it was close, and it was cool seeing Trae Young do his thing. But these are bad teams, as I stated. Like, this isn't really playoff basketball, really. You can't, you know what I mean? When you got a ninth-place team playing a tenth-place team and stuff, you can't say, oh, yeah, it's playoff intensity. No, the loser is done for the year. But I don't know if intensity is the right word, right? I don't know if intensity is the right word. Like the Charlotte-Atlanta game, I don't know if it was intense. But tomorrow it gets real. Like, tomorrow it gets real. The Philadelphia-Toronto series is going to be a real battle. And then, you know, the Denver and Golden State on Saturday night's awesome stuff. Boston and Brooklyn, really cool. You know, Dallas and Utah is a little bit, it's not the same without Luka. It's too bad. But, hey, it is what it is. I'm not shedding any tears for anybody. It's a war of attrition, this stuff. It really is. It's a war of attrition. So George Kurtz is going to step up and join us. We got George Kurtz kicking it with a Sports Grid's George Kurtz. Coach Jeff Reinbold, longtime coach, football coach. He's coached everywhere. Coach in the NFL Europe. He's current special teams coordinator of the Montreal Alouettes. He was with June Jones in Hawaii and SMU. He's coached everywhere. So we'll talk. And he also works for Sky Sports. So, like, the CFL training camp's open in a couple of weeks, I think. And I don't know, like, it should be coming up soon. We'll ask him. You know, the season starts in late June, but their training camp isn't as long as an NFL one. But I don't know, it's about 3 weeks or so. Three, 4 weeks type deal. 3.5, 4 weeks. But Coach Reinbold's going to be in Las Vegas for the NFL draft. So are we. So the coach is going to join us in Vegas. That's going to be super cool. He does NFL football. He's been covering the NFL for with Sky Sports for a long time. Long time. I think he does it with David Carr. Derek Carr's brother, the original Carr brother. But yeah, so Coach Reinbold will join us. Tony Finn will step up and in. We'll break down the NBA playoffs with Finn. We'll talk a little baseball with George Kurtz, as well as NHL hockey. Mike Bossy passed away today. So, yeah, let's start. So much stuff. We'll get into Mike Bossy and, of course, Jackie Robinson and then, of course, Jesus himself. Big day today. big day today. And no offense, Jesus. Thank you for everything. But let's start off with Mike Bossy. But all kidding aside, happy Easter and happy Passover to everybody. Mike Bossy passes away And it's a sad story, but, you know, there was a silver lining in it, in a sense, that, you know, Mike Bossy is from Montreal, Mike Bossy, but he played for the New York Islanders. Right, four-time Stanley Cup champion, succumbed to his battle with lung cancer. Today he was 65. Now, honestly, he's been in palliative care for a little while now, about a week or two, I think, a week and a half or so and whatnot. But he's also, it's kind of been known that he's not well over the last year or so. So it's not like, it's not one of these, didn't see that coming. Like, oh my God, it's a shock. It's sad. But I found it fitting, actually, that he has been basically in critical care for a week plus, and he dies on the day that the New York Islanders go back to Montreal, where he's from. The team he played for goes back to the town where he's a hero and legend from where he was from. Mike Bossy scored 573 goals in 752 games. Still to this day, nobody has scored at that prolific rate before. And think about that, like nobody. So Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Ovechkin, all the greats. Nobody has scored goals at the clip that this guy was able to score goals. He's the all-time leader in goals per game. 0.762. So he scored a goal, 0.7262, per game over the course of 10 years. He played 10 years, he scored 573 goals. 10 years, 573. He averaged 57 goals a year. And the thing is, too, there are a lot of guys that put up like some crazy numbers. He wasn't part of that era. Like that era was right after him. He sort of was, he sort of set that era, but like he didn't play. Like if he would have played, if he was a couple of years after, he probably would have scored like 100 goals type thing. Now the all-time record is 92 by Wayne Gretzky, which will never be beaten. It's a different league now. But, there was a time in the league where Mario Lemieux had 85, Gretzky had 92, and a bunch of dudes had, 70-plus goals and stuff. But he did it. It wasn't easy. When Mike Bossy did it, players were still trying to kill each other and stuff. It wasn't he averaged 57 goals, but I heard everyone scored in those days. Nah, he was, right before the free-for-all era. Gretzky was in the free-for-all era. The late-night anger management class. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenzi. Man, what a wild swing in this Clipper game, man. Absolute insanity. But as I stated, I said this the other night on TV, or I don't know if it was on the radio or I think it was the radio. I think it was the TV show because I think it was Sherapan that cracked up. It was on Wednesday night before the game, and I was right in a sense. I said that Clipper games are basically they're a bottle of Prozac. That's what the Clippers are. They're a bottle of Prozac. they could be terrible, they could be good, then it could be good and terrible in the same quarter and game, and they can blow a lead, they can come back from down double digits. A lot of crazy things that happen in Clipper games, and it is going on right now, but they're up 7 right now. I'm tired of the JV crap, though. Enough of the play-in crap. Dear God. I like the play-in tournament. There was no need to stretch it out to Friday. I like Cousin Sal's idea. Make them play back-to-back. Make them pay the price for this. Put the games in Dayton, all right? So L.A. Dodgers are up 3-1 right now. A lot of stuff I want to get to, actually. And just quickly before we bring George Kurtz in, I was talking about Mike Bossy. We'll continue this with George. But I said Bossy wasn't in the all-out, like, crazy era where, like, people were scoring 90 goals and stuff like that. He was, like, right before it. He was, you know, before that era. But he wasn't, you know what I mean? He wasn't part of that. So, like, if you people, I see some people like, oh, well, you know, I heard everyone scored in those days and stuff. No, it was right before that era. He handed the torch. The New York Islanders played against Wayne Gretzky and the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup final. My uncle was on the Oilers. They got swept. The Islanders swept them. And then the Oilers took over after that. The Islanders were older, but they had one more in them. So just, you know, like we said, to put it in perspective, he averaged 57 goals a season. Played 10 years, scored 573 goals. I like to see his playoff numbers here, too, because he was just a big-time player. But as this, Bossy also added 553 assists. Pretty crazy, man. Finishing with 1,126 points. He ranks behind only Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux in points per game in NHL history. Like, he's that, you know what I mean? He had that much of an impact. Won the Rookie of the Year in 1977-78, earning his, I like this, 10 years in the league, 10 All-Star games. Let's bring in George Kurtz right now because I can go on and on reading his resume. But you believe that's amazing right there. Especially in that era, there were a lot of really good players. Like, they were putting up big numbers and, like, stars in the league and Hall of Famers. And 10 seasons in the league, George, 10 consecutive All-Star appearances for Mike Bossy.
It was just a fantastic player. I mean, truly a fantastic player. You mentioned you didn't want to know what his playoff numbers were. 129 playoff games, 85 goals, 75 assists, 160 points.
That's a lot of playoff goals.
So
Mike
playoff slowed him down. All right, and you mentioned third all-time as far as points per game. Well, he's first all-time as far as goals per game. So you think about that. And he said his career ended early. 10 years. If he would have been able to play, you know, until he was old, his career ended due to the back injuries, due to all the cross checks he took. Bad back. That's what ended his career. So Lord knows how high he'd be on that list if not for that. Just a sad day for Islander fans. Really a sad year for Islander fans. Clark Gillies passed earlier, and now Mike Bossy. I know me personally, you know, these are guys that grew up. These were my heroes growing up. You know, late 70s, mid-80s of the Islanders. I was 10 and 15 for most of that. And it hurts to see those guys passed on really early. You know, he was only 65, Bossy. Clark really was only 68. And I think they're gone now. I'm not going to say it brings a tear to my eye, does it? But it feels differently today. Today just feels different.
I got watery. I had a little caught up. Just everything. Jackie Robinson Day. Jackie played in Montreal first. There's a statue outside Olympic Stadium. And I'm a Dodger fan as well. And, you know, Jackie played in Montreal even before he played. So I was saying, you know, the Jackie stuff and Mike Bossy as well. I knew Mike Bossy, right? So I can't sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, I played golf with him every weekend and we were buddies, but... he was on the same radio station as me. Well, basically, like, he was like on the payroll as one of the guests. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he would be on like the morning show or whatever. Like, he'd be on different shows and stuff. He's a longtime media guy, Mike Bossy, right? And specifically in the Montreal area. He did French television and he did all kinds of different media stuff. And he was also a regional sales director of a potato chip company, George Humpty Dumpty. And guys didn't make as much money in the old days. They had to get a job after, right? So he got a job after Humpty Dumpty potato chips, which, for the record, and I've lived everywhere and I've had potato chips from all over the place. They're the best. They really are. Now they're called Old Dutch. They sold the recipe, and Old Dutch took them over. So anyone knows what I'm talking about. And you can order this stuff online if you're hardcore, like Big League Chew and whatever, like junk food and crap you're looking for online. It's actually true, George. I don't know if you realize this, but you can buy whatever you want. Like, if you, there's like on the internet. It's not like from some dude's garage. Yeah, I got a bag of Big League Chew from 40 years ago.
Can I get a Reggie bar? I think they have those online.
Now you probably have to pay for it.
That might be from 40 years ago.
Yeah, that you have to pay for. I don't think they're making those as much anymore. But, so I used to have Mike Bossy on. Like, I've spoken to him a lot, like, about hockey over the years. And smart guy, cutting, you know, a good sense of humor, witty, self-deprecating, you know, darker sense of humor type of guy. He's a funny guy, nice guy, right? No ego for a guy that was as good. Like, he really is one of the greatest hockey players ever to play. And, no ego, but as you stated, and like you said, George, but, you know, Clark Gillies dies. What it is it's you're worried about your own mortality now. That's it. Sort of kicked me with me in, right? I'm like, man, you know, it's a cycle of life. You know what I mean? We're like 10, 15 years younger than all these guys that are dying now, George, right? Right. Some of them were in better shape than you and I are. So that's the whole thing. That's what I got. Somebody sent me a tweet today. It was Greg. Shout out to our boy Bolt in Arizona now. He said, you know, it's freaking me out, all these guys dying. He goes, I'm starting to, like, worry that I'm going to be next. And I can't lie. I'm pretty good at not letting that stuff get to me. But for whatever reason today with Bossy, I think because I'm from the same place as him, I know him. He's been, you know what I mean? It's just one of these things. He's been in my life my whole life. You know, when I was a kid, he was a star player. And then after, I'm in the media and I get to know him. And, like, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of it hit me in a weird way today, too, as well, that, wow, you know, like, this is real. Like, we're not here forever. It's just, it's a quick reminder, George.
You said it. I mean, not even a generation older than us. He's 65. I'll be 53 in August.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd be lying if I said it dawned on me. Like, man, am I going to go that soon? You know, I certainly don't want to go that soon. Yeah, so yeah, it does hit you. It definitely does. I thought the same thing with Clark Gillies. Says, these are guys, yeah, I know they were older than me when they played, but they were my heroes. You know, I felt close to them. I lived in Elmont, literally 5 miles from the Coliseum. You know, I was there when the Islanders, I was at the parades when they would go down Hempstead Turnpike when they won the Cup. So it was a huge thing on Long Island. So they were just different from other teams because they were, you know, part of the neighborhood, sort of that sort of thing there. You know, I could ride my bike to the Coliseum back then. So it just felt different. Like I said, Clark Gillies, it hit me, and then Bossy hits me. I mean, you watch it, I'm watching NHL Live today with EJ Redick and Mike Johnson, the hosting that they had on Brian Trotche, who was my number one Islander, my number one Islander when I'm 19 when I played hockey. He's on. You can see the emotion in him. They had Jake McDonald on. Then they had Wayne Gretzky on, all talking about Bossy and the kind of player he was. It was almost surreal because it just hit you. It just hit you. You know, someone you grew up with, you know, passed. Or you felt like someone you grew up with. You know, watching all those Islander games. You know, I don't think people realized on Long Island back then, you could not get a ticket to an Islander game. It was impossible. They were all sold out. And it was next to impossible to get a ticket. I used to be, delivering newspapers for Newsday. And every now and then, every couple of months, they'd have a giveaway. Whoever got the first new subscriber, they'd get two tickets to an Islander game. You know, be up in the last season. It didn't matter. I would boogie my butt on that bike, and I'd be, you know, cold calling houses. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. You want Newsday? And that's how I went to games, okay? That's how I would go to an Islander game.
That's awesome. Cousin Sal actually was saying, told us a story earlier today, too, that he was a delivery. Same thing for Newsday as well. That's great. And as you stated, too, and the Islanders, you know, that was the thing, man. Like, man, they were good. And they were kind of, they weren't very likable, right? In a sense, you know, because, well, you have the Ranger fans with the Potvin stuff. But Dennis Potvin's another guy that's, like, one of the nicest guys. Like, he's a really nice guy. Right, like everyone's a nice guy when they die and stuff, but like Mike Bossy was a nice guy, but like Dennis Potvin's like really friendly. Right, Bossy was more like sort of dark sense of humor, like, yeah, nice to meet you, like, you know, like, go away now. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, one of those times, like, yeah, all right, what do you want from me? You know what I mean? But in that cool way, but like Dennis Potvin will ask you, yeah, what's your kid's name? All right, where do they go to school? Like, you know what I mean? Potvin is a super, like, really nice guy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team. Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
There's a train wreck, man, at the end of this game. Oh, my God, and you missed that after all that? Was that Covington? Oh, my God. I said this earlier about, like, this is like the play-in stuff, right? They're not real playoff teams, these teams. It's not like it's not crazy and stuff. It is, but it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, this is an elimination game. I don't know, like, has ever happened as a team. Like, has both teams ever blown a double-digit lead in a playoff game before? I don't know if this is technically a playoff game. Like, both teams have blown double-digit leads. Okay, the Pelicans won three. You're the Clippers. You come back. You're in control of the game. I said, wow, they should, but you never know. And then it's like, okay, suddenly they're down by four, the Pelicans again, and now they're up by four. Now the Clippers are choking now. And the clock is ticking away. They're lucky. Oh, my God. I was going to say, they're lucky that didn't go in. The Pelicans just bombed a three at the end of the shot clock. It bounced like 100 feet in the air off the rim and went in. I was mid-sentence saying, they're lucky that didn't go in. You better hit this three, pal. And he does. Wow. There's under 2 minutes left. George Kurtz with us right now. George, I'm going to keep people up to date with this, but, you know, the NHL playoffs are awesome, and the NHL is a great sport. Their playoff format sucks. Like, this little, the first three teams, this and that. Everything's confusing with these guys. But this NBA play-in tournament has been it's a good idea. It's a good idea. So the thought is, should the NHL adopt this and have a play-in tournament, so to speak, for the playoffs? And just for the record, George, it doesn't mean letting everybody get a chance at this, right? NBA is still old school, right? 1 through 8. But what they do is now you're only guaranteed a spot if you're 1 through 6. And then the teams, 7th, 8th place, 9th, and 10th play. Now, they said the 7th and 8th place teams get a little bit of an advantage in the format. But what it does is it keeps the teams that are in 6th place, 5th place, 4th place, they can't mail it in and say, we're good, right? Because we might fall into this stupid little play-in tournament thing. And then it keeps other teams alive if you're in 9th and 10th place down the stretch. It's a good idea, but the one thing with hockey where I would say it's not really needed, there's not an effort problem or a mailing-in problem in hockey in the NHL. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, we got to keep these teams honest and this is a good idea because load management. There is no load management in the NHL. Unless, you know what I mean, you got a broken leg, you're playing hockey. You know what I mean, George? So what do you think about a play-in tournament? Like, do you know about, like, you're not a big basketball guy, but you know about the NBA. Do you know the format and everything, how it works?
Yeah, I know how it works. I looked into it when it first came out because I found it curious.
Yeah, you know, like 7-8 play each other, winner advances automatically, and if you lose in your 7 or 8 place, you get another shot at it after. It's a pretty good format.
It's into it. I'll just play the little devil's advocate. All right, so 7-8 in the NHL would be what? Boston versus Washington. All right, then the loser of that would have to play the Islanders, you know, or in Columbus. Right? Do the Islanders deserve a shot to make the playoffs? Boston beats Washington. Should Washington lose out on a playoff spot, even though they're 13 points ahead of the Islanders? That's 6.5 games.
But the thing is, the 10th place team, George, the 9th and 10th place teams need to win twice.
Right, I get that. But you have one bad week, and the Islanders are hot that week.
You know what? You know what I would do, though, with hockey personally? I would have a best of three or a best of two aggregate type thing. Sort of like soccer does it.
That's probably better.
Play two games, and we're going to carry the score over to the next night. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can have it like that, or you can go a best of two or three. Look, baseball did it sort of with the one-game wild card, right? And that's ridiculous, George. You and I talked about it last year. I mean, the Dodgers won 106 games, and they're in a one-game knockout the next day after the season ends.
It's not fair. It's not fair. And baseball is not meant for a one game. It's meant for, you know, some kind of series. Yeah. Hell, a five-game series really isn't baseball.
But shouldn't, right? If they're going to do it instead of a wild card, shouldn't they do a best of three then at least? Like, isn't it kind of insane?
I absolutely think they should do. That's what they're doing this year now. They are going to the best of threes now. There are no more single-game eliminations, which I think is
so 12 teams, best of three now. Yeah.
At least best of three. They're 3-5-7. Listen, I think hockey has their, you already said, I think their playoff system's all screwed up. I think it's
okay, so no play-in tournament, but there's got to be something better, George. Like, what was wrong with the 1-8 stuff, bro?
It was fine. They want to eliminate travel. The hockey's cheap.
Oh, God.
They want to eliminate travel. So keep
I know, so division rivals play each other in the playoffs now, though, right away in the first round.
But that's it. Then the wild card could be from any division. You don't know. All right, so I do get it that you'll have some nice matchups like Toronto and Tampa Bay. It'll be an interesting matchup, assuming that Boston doesn't.
That's another thing that Bettman liked about it. It guaranteed, they found that the first round gets the best ratings, George, and I get that. They like it that it guarantees these good playoff matchups.
You're guaranteed four division matchups.
Yeah, you've guaranteed Toronto, some Tampa, flashy.
Rangers,
yeah, Pittsburgh versus Rangers. Oh, New York market, Rangers versus Sidney Crosby. Like, they can sell that, bro. That's all they care about. You know what I mean?
And you're right. That's all sports. That's all they care about. Listen, if I'm going to start complaining about hockey, can we just get rid of the it still drives me insane that we give the team that loses a game a point. I don't care if you lost an overtime.
Oh,
me
too.
Why do you get a point?
You and I agree with that.
Right, 3 points for a win.
Yes.
2 points to win in overtime. 1 point if you win.
And you know what's funny, George? They say, I've been saying the exact same damn thing for years. If you're going to do this, fine. I can live with the point. But make it 3-2-1. Right? Make it 3-2-1. Three for a regulation win. 2 points for an overtime win. 1 point for an overtime loss. There you go. And they're, you know what they're behind the scenes is? They don't want their standings looking crazy.
Bingo.
They already do.
Like, they want to keep teams close. They
George, they don't want people looking, oh, the Rangers have 188 points or whatever. Like, oh, well, it's too confusing. Dude, I've been following hockey. I grew up in skates. I look at the NHL standings. I get pissed off now. No, 25-12-2-2-2 or whatever. I'm like, what the hell does this even mean, man? Like, I'm like, suck it. Screw off, man. You know what I mean?
Right. You've changed the standing so many times, who cares?
Exactly.
Right? Point someone gets.
I agree with you. 3 points.
You can't
three
say points.
Point,
oh, because it'll look bad because something might have 140 points.
And you're right.
As soon as you went to overtime, you gave a team a point, you're skewing the standings. Right? You've already done that. So
and
make
then,
it right. Make it fair.
And then, like you said, they like this little, wow, it's good this way because, you know, everyone gets a point, it keeps them in it and stuff. No, but is it detriment? Like, look, the Vancouver Canucks are a good example, George. These guys have won 5 games in a row, bro. They can't gain ground because teams get points all the time. Right? Like, it's stupid. It defeats its purpose, George. You know what I mean?
You want to think of how stupid the NHL is, all right? Theoretically, you could not win a game in regulation. Ever,
yep.
The entire season, but yep. End up with 125 points.
Dear God. Like, that's like, it's. And I was just thinking the same thing, too. Like, if you're already up on someone right now, George, the logic is, man, if we just got, like, if you're up by, like, 5 points or six points or seven, eight games left, you could literally just say to the team, guys, let's just get this to overtime. We'll get a point. They can't catch us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you played 7 games and we go 0-7 technically and get 7 points, we make the playoffs still. Like, that's not right, George. Like, and don't tell me that these coaches aren't thinking about this. They're looking up at the clock and they're like, oh, there's 7 minutes left in the game. Yeah, you know what? I'm good with this. Let me get a point out of this. Like, they'll start to think right away, I'll get a point out of this. Let's just tighten this up.
I have a hard time believing, by the way, Gabe. You're the coach of one team. I'm the coach of the other team. And we also
Know
the game. You know, listen, tied with 5 minutes left.
You don't even have to say anything, George. They just look at each other during the game. They
exactly.
All know each other. They
exactly.
Sort of look. Yeah. And then, no.
Let's not do anything crazy here. We'll get the overtime. Then we'll go crazy. We'll play for the
soccer,
win overtime.
Soccer's blatantly known for that. Both teams just say, listen, you don't score, we won't score. They just pass it around. So much stuff I want to throw here. What did you make of, just for the record, 103-100 right now. The Clippers are about to blow this. Oh, is that a steal? Oh, my God. Whose ball is that? God, it looks like it went off the Palace. I don't know. I think they're saying it's Pelican ball. Let me see a quick highlight here. Oh, let's see. Nice defense. They had Ingram pinned in the corner. He threw it up for grabs. I think it's off the Clippers, actually. I think, that's a good call. Off the Clippers. They didn't even review it. I guess they were just that sure. All right, so the Pelicans are going to the line. They're up three right now. I'm middling this game, so I'm okay. I feel for our boy Matias right now. But there's still 19.7 seconds left. So do you see the video? I tweeted out Mike Trout's face. Do you see his face, George? Do you see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
So his face was like, he's kind of like.
WTF.
Yeah, he was like looking around like, whoa, like Mike Trout's in center field. So just set the stage, actually, guys. So it's the fourth inning. It's a 3-2 baseball game, right? It was 3-2. I want to get a score. It was 3-2. And the bases are loaded. And Corey Seager comes up for the Rangers. And Joe Maddon intentionally walks him with the bases loaded. And it led to, it was 6-2 when it was all said and done after George. It was 6-2 after. And he's Corey Seager. I get it. He's good. But, like, it's like, is this your analytics, really? So Mike Trout's in center field, and you just, by chance, they have his face. He just sort of looks like, what's going on? And he sort of looks around. You can see, actually, he looks at home plate, and you can see him look right, sort of to thing, like looking, is there an open base? Am I an idiot? I think that, you know what I mean? I think he was like, is there an open base? What am I missing? He sort of looked around to double take his thought. And then you can see it settled in that, no, we're walking this guy. And then he just had a mini, he's slick that he probably knew, all right, everyone's going to see me if I make a disgusted look. So I better like, but man, what do you make of that, George? What the hell is that?
I think it's Joe Maddon trying to prove he's smarter than everybody else. We've seen this before from Maddon. With the Cubs, he's done some wacky things. With the Rays, he did some wacky things that nobody understood. You know, so I think that's exactly what it is. I don't think there's any excuse for this. You're trailing 3-2. You're going to make it 4-2. And it wasn't like there was two outs, by the way. All right, we'll give him the run. Give him the run. You know, I think there was one out. The next, they walked in a run. That made it 4-2. Then there was a sacrifice fly. That made it 5-2. And then they walked in a run. Which makes you wonder if the pitcher was all screwed up from this.
Not to mention, you're playing the Texas Rangers, bro, that can put runs on the board. So, like, you got to better just face it. Like, what, you think this is, like, going to stop the bleeding? Like, you know what I mean?
If you're
you got Marcus Simeon coming up, George.
Listen, if you're upset, too, I think you could explain it to me. Okay.
Yes, okay. No, in a playoff game, yes. Not in the fifth game of the season. And you just mentioned Joe Maddon becomes the first manager to order an intentional walk with the bases loaded while trailing in a game since Jim O'Rourke in 1881. Like, it's not unheard of. So he can't say, you guys are dumb, I'm smart. You'd say, well, listen, you're so smart. No one's ever done this in 142 years, coach.
I'd like to hear his reasoning. I would really like to hear his reasoning.
It's not Barry Bonds in the eighth inning of the World Series here. And you're up by two. Like, you know what I mean? I'd be like, listen, we're up by two or three. Let's just bite the bullet and walk a run in. I can live with that, like you said, in a playoff game. Against one of the best hitters ever, against Corey effing Seager in the first week of the season? What?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Bull. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
That's Coach Tyronn Lue. The Los Angeles Clippers, 105-101, final score. The New Orleans Pelicans earned the right to advance to get their ass handed to them by the Phoenix Suns. Pelicans win 105-101. 105-101 game stays under the number. And it was 103. The Clippers, they, man, I said it. Their games are a bottle of Prozac. But I'm alive, actually. And sorry, Matthias. We'll get to Matthias later. We'll let him calm down a little bit. But our teasers have actually hit. We middled it. We teased this the other night. We did this the other night. I took the Cavaliers plus 12.5. The Clippers were 4-point favorites at the time, and I got the Clippers plus 6, and I got the Raptors plus 14.5. And then today, I was like, you know what? I better adjust this. So I re-attacked it. I redid it, and I took the Pelicans on the teaser at plus 8.5 to middle that. Raptors plus 14.5. So I got the Raptors on two teasers. I got like $500 in teasers on the Raptors now tomorrow, plus 14.5. And I threw the Grizzlies. I was going to take the Denver Nuggets plus 16, but I didn't want to wait till the nighttime. And I think the Grizzlies are going to beat the T-Wolves tomorrow, and I got the Grizzlies plus 3.5. So now I got the Raptors plus 14.5 and the Grizzlies plus 3.5 on a teaser. And I just now I have the Raptors plus 14.5 on another teaser just alone to close it out. George Kurtz with us right now. Wild stuff right there. One, you know, George, what pissed me off tonight, it cost me money, is the your Yankees, man. For the love of God, man, you lost to Baltimore. Yankees can't hit. Like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with this team. They can pitch. Like, it's a bizarro world. All right, hang in here, George. We'll get you out of here in like 10 minutes. Quick update. We'll get some picks from George, baseball on the other side. And let's rip the Yankees a bit. Son of a bitches.